This past Friday, November 21st, was the annual Take Back the Night March, hosted by the Concordia Center for Gender Advocacy as part of their A Safer Concordia campaign. The march, from Gee Concordia to McGill campus, opposes gendered and sexual violence and promotes safe public spaces.
Yes means yes, no means no. Whatever we wear, wherever we go.
Yes means yes, no means no. Whatever we wear, wherever we go.
What do you want?
Today we march together to attest that we are not afraid. We will see change. After all, safety is a right, not a luxury.
Take Back the Night to me means a space for women and allies to show that they deserve a space in public to be respected and to be admired as human beings.
But as we withstand, before we find someone who understands, it's not our miniskirts. Oh, the way we flirt, it's not the time of night. No, that don't make it right. We remind you that you can't coerce sex. No, you can only ask. You gotta respect my boundaries. Now, don't you give me any sass. You can't coerce sex. No, you can only ask. Cause if I am not into it, you'll look like a humongous ass. So
in the past year, Canadian universities have been front and center in the news when it comes to incidences of campus sexual assault. Still, few Canadian universities have sexual assault policies, and when they do, they're usually limited in their scope. School administrations must actively promote consent and support survivors of sexual assault, not the perpetrators, by turning a blind eye. Nearly 1 in 4 women will be sexually assaulted as students, and very little data is available about the experiences of people of other genders when it comes to sexual and gendered violence. We want to take back our campuses and make them safer, but university administrations must also do their job, implementing policies and practices to make such campuses a reality. We refuse to stand by idly while administrators won't see the amplitude and urgency of this issue. As activists, we can be proud of our successes in building safer campuses. The opening of the Concordia Sexual Assault Resource Center and the agreement made by McGill University to implement a sexual assault policy in the next year are evidence of this. But a safer community doesn't end on campus. We want safer campuses and a safer city.
The police say that women shouldn't be taking taxi alone by themselves or be drunk. And this is in result to a woman taking her story to the media that a taxi cab driver assaulted her. And that was their response. Do not take a cab by yourself. So we're here to say that, you know, taxis should be a safe place and that, you know, there should be no victim blaming. And we really need to put the blame back onto the perpetrators.
So, solidarité avec les survivants.
So, solidarité avec les survivants.
Solidarité avec les femmes en
sauveteur. Hi, can you tell me what your sign says?
Our sign says, Sexual Assault Center in solidarity. We're here to listen. And then it has our phone number for the Sexual Assault Center of McGill Student Society.
People are talking about sexual assault online, in the news, on TV, on the radio, in cafes, in classrooms, at parties, with family, between friends, between strangers, in public, in private, in this city, and so many others. Challenging conversations are happening more now than ever before. This cannot be a bad thing. And yet, new conversations pose new questions. While gender-based violence and sexual assault have always been major and yet massively neglected issues, many people are learning to recognize and name these too long ignored abuses for the first time. This is good. Surely we need as many people as possible to join the fight against rape culture, to unlearn the lies and the shame they've been taught all their lives, to make heard all that's been silenced. Yet for those who have been doing this work for years, or for what may seem like lifetimes, as some of you here today have, some of this talk must be almost as frustrating as it is encouraging. Because our energy is not infinite, and explaining endlessly why victim blaming is unacceptable, or why a courtroom might be a living nightmare for a survivor, or how no one ever owes anyone sex, can become so exhausting that it might feel like we're fighting a fight that can never be won. And for those of us who are new to this work, we are learning that some days are better than others, and that progress is a slow and piecemeal journey at best. Some days, we wake up to social explosions of courage, bravery, and kindness, a survivor carrying her mattress around campus, masculine institutions being forced to confront domestic violence, consent finally being seen as more than no means no. A chorus of people start sharing their experiences, one after another, until we think to ourselves, how many stories will finally be enough? But some days, it feels like each dawn brings a new variant of the same old, infuriating, enraging stories. Yesterday, we remembered the lives lost in the overwhelming violence inflicted on transgender people, especially trans women of color, while many trans folks and activists celebrated the living and spoke of how they never forget. We still live in a country where the Prime Minister thinks the murder and disappearance of thousands of Indigenous women does not constitute a pattern.
Shame.
Shame. Someone is fired. Someone is murdered. A court case is dropped. The word alleged begins to taste sour in our mouths. We look to each other for strength. We talk. We scream. We meet. We march.
And yet, something is changing. Journalists and media sources are paying close attention, contacting us for statements, for insight, for experience. What was once the stuff of small-scale feminist blogs is now front-page news. We must engage in a sustained, collective discussion about how media impacts our work and vice versa. We must not allow these changes to divert energy away from our priorities. More and more people want to be involved, to learn about supporting the survivors in their lives, and critically, to look inwards at the ideas they've internalized. We need to develop improved ways of sharing knowledge and shaping minds, especially for the young people in our communities, which allow us to truly move these conversations forward. While exhaustion and frustration remain paralyzing forces, allies are coming from some unexpected places. To be able to say we are fighting violence and oppression, we too must look inwards at our activism and challenge ourselves to build a truly intersectional movement. If we want to make sure that the voices of survivors are being heard, we need to make sure that the voices of all survivors are being heard. We need to stop and think about how we too might be contributing to systems of violence of oppression, violence and oppression, and then tear it down. Today at McGill, we are working on and trying to implement the university's first sexual assault policy so that survivors are not left with two options: say nothing or go to the police. We want to create a policy that is survivor-focused, respecting their autonomy and agency, and prioritizing their safety and support.
One of the documents we consulted when drafting the policy proposal was Antioch College's sexual consent policy, which was enacted in 1991. Antioch's policy is not perfect, but the women who wrote it were thinking about consent in the necessarily complex and nuanced way that many people today still are not. The policy, which frames consent as mutual and ongoing, was ridiculed in the national news. Saturday Night Live did a popular sketch mocking the entire concept of college students practicing consent.
Shame.
As we've been discussing tonight, university campuses are currently at the center of many of these conversations, and most Canadian universities still embarrassingly lack policies on sexual assault.
Shame.
But affirmative consent can no longer be publicly treated as an impossible joke. And the dream of a university that takes sexual assault seriously is moving closer to reality. We owe this tectonic shift to those who came before us, to the immensely brave activists and survivors, and people who were willing to take risks to make change. Woo! When I think of them, I overflow with gratitude. There is, and always has been, backlash. Whenever we speak out, we are silenced. Wherever we are authoritative concerning our own experiences, we are discredited. For every step we take forward, there are gigantic forces trying to push us back again. But at least people are talking about sexual assault.
You've been listening to sounds from the Take Back the Night March that happened this past Friday, November 21st. The march from Gay Concordia to McGill campus was hosted by the Center for Gender Advocacy as part of their A Safer Concordia campaign.